Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you, and wow, 2016 is definitely not disappointing, is it? Wow, it's 2016. We got a jam-packed show for you today. 2016, definitely not disappointing. We'll get to the news of the day in just a couple of seconds here, but I want to quickly announce do some housekeeping at the top of the show here. We've only got, including this one, we've only got four shows left until the end of the year. Of course, Christmas Day is the Orphans' Christmas here at HQ. The 1st of January is the best of 2016, and the 8th of January is the biggest stories of 2017. The biggest stories of 2016, and the 15th of January is the biggest as the prediction show. So that is the huge lineup coming into the best at the end of the year here. But we've only got four shows left of 2016. We've got today. We've got the 4th of December. 11th of December, 18th of December will be 18th of December will be the final show, live show of 2016 in its normal format, and then live shows will resume on regular live shows will resume on the 22nd. That's when this normal format will resume. So we'll be off with specials for about a month. So then we're back. Then we'll be back. We're doing regular shows. From the 22nd of January, biggest shows of 2016 is definitely going to be. It's going to be difficult to do, knowing what has happened today. This week, particularly, some of the stories this week might just scrape through on the biggest stories of 2016. Former Cuban president Fidel Castro dies at age 90. Cuban revolutionary leader Fidel Castro, who built a communist state on the doorstep of the United States for five decades to fight the efforts to topple him, has died at the age of 90. With his shaking voice, President Raul Castro announced on state television that his older brother died at 12:29 p.m. on Friday, local Cuban time. He ended the announcement shouting the revolutionary slogan, "Towards victory, always." Mr. Castro had been in poor health since an intestinal alignment nearly killed him in 2006. He led Cuba for five decades and was the world's third longest-serving head of state after Queen Elizabeth II and the King of Thailand. He took power in 1959 revolution and ruled Cuba for 49 years with a mix of charisma and iron will, for creating one-party state and becoming a central figure in the Cold War. Here is more.
It was as a young radical that Castro debuted on the international stage, inspiring his supporters and overthrowing the Cuban government. The year was 1959, and within weeks, the bearded, cigar-smoking rebel had become Cuba's leader. To many, he was a romantic revolutionary, a persuasive and moving speaker who had the affection of his people. American administrations longed for his demise, fearing a communist state so close to its borders.
Meanwhile, in Havana, expectant crowds await the first appearance of Castro since the invasion began.
In 1961, the U.S. supported a group of exiles who landed at the Bay of Pigs, determined to bring down Castro. But it was a disastrous scheme, and Castro claimed victory.
It shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States.
Soon, though, Cuba was at the center of the 1962 missile crisis, which brought the world to the brink of nuclear war. For decades, Castro stayed close to the Soviet Union, and when it collapsed, Cubans faced poverty and despair. The saga of Elion Gonzalez, a young Cuban boy who was caught in a tug-of-war between the US and Cuba, seemed to galvanize the Cuban people, not only behind their country, but also behind their leader.
¡Viva la revolución!
Castro was famous for his long speeches. It was after one of them, in October 2004, that he fell, breaking bones in his arm and leg. He recovered from those injuries, but never regained his vigour. His private life was always a mystery, but he's believed to have fathered 8 children during a marriage that lasted more than 30 years. He remained until the end, though, a revolutionary, vowing to fight for his country until his death.
That comes courtesy of the ABC there. I'll get to my opinions in just a little while, giving you some key information here, some key dates that kind of demonstrated Castro's life. Castro was born on August 13th, 1926, out of wedlock, and the third of 6 children. 1945, begins studying law at the University of Havana, where he develops his political ideology. In 1947, he travels to the Dominican Republic in an attempt to overthrow dictator Rafael Trujillo. Excuse me for mispronouncing that name. 1949, Castro's eldest son, Fidro Castro Diaz Belrat, is born in 1949, out of his belief marriage to Mildred Diaz Belrat. He had 9 children from 5 different women. In 1953, Castro is arrested and sentenced to 15 years jail after attempting to overthrow Cuban right-wing ruler Figueroa Barista. Bistro grants Castro immunity and releases him from jail. Castro, in 1956, Castro returns to Cuba after traveling to Mexico. In 1959, Cuba assumes power of country as prime minister, overthrowing Bista and forcing him to flee, the beginning of the rule that would then last 49 years. In 1960, Castro delivers a speech on September 26 to the UN and holds a record for the longest speech ever at 4 hours and 29 minutes. Jeez, that is a lot. That's a very long. That's a huge speech. In 1962, Castro's alliance with Moscow helps trigger the Cuban Missile Crisis. In 1976, Castro is elected president officially. In 1985, Castro gives up Cuban cigars. Years later, he summed up the harm of smoking tobacco by saying that, quote, "the best thing you can do with a box of cigars is give them to your enemy," unquote. On February 24th, 1998, Castro gives one of his longest speeches, lasting 7 hours and 30 minutes, after the National Assembly re-elects him to a 5-year term as president. 2006, Castro temporarily cedes power to his brother Raul in July after undergoing surgery. In 2008, the handover to power to Raul Castro becomes official, and in 2016, Castro dies on November 25th at local time. Now, everyone has reacted, of course, to the passing of Castro. President-elect Trump gave his first reaction to the death to Castro on Twitter by saying, "Fidel Castro is dead," while President Obama offered a hand to friendship to Cubans. The Pope personally signed the telegraph to a Cuban president. Mr. Trump says, "Finally live them the freedom they so richly deserve." And the Chinese president, I want to say, said the Chinese people have lost a close comrade. Let's see what else is here. Mr. Obama also said, "It was an emotional moment for Cubans and Cuban Americans because of the countless ways he has altered the course of individual lives, families, and the Cuban nature. At this time, Fidel Castro's passing, we extend a hand of friendship to the Cuban people, Mr. Obama said. Trying to read on here, trying to get some of the key points. I think that's about it. But I think, to me, and there are people rejoicing, and there are some people that, of course, are mourning over this. For example, thousands of exiled Cubans rejoice in Miami streets. So I think this is. That's to believe a video of it. I think that's the same video. Okay, so thousands of Cubans and Americans have flooded the streets of Miami to celebrate the death of Cuban leader Fidel Castro. Within half an hour of the Cuban government's official announcement of the former ruler's death, thousands of people in Miami took to the streets in jubilation. There were loud celebrations in Little Havana, the district of Miami, where a large population of Cuban exiles and their descendants live. Festive crowds marched the streets, chanting, banging pots and pans, waving Cuban flags into early hours of Saturday morning, local time, honking and strains of salsa music blaring from car stereos echoed against Draco buildings, fireworks lit up in the humid night sky. Everything peaceful from what I'm hearing. There was the ones that made it to Miami took a largely Vietnamese anti-Castro stance, quote, "I don't want to celebrate, nobody does. You can't celebrate someone's death. I just hope for democracy," said a financial advisor who was woken by the relatives, by relatives, with the news, and went to Domino Park in the heart of Little Havana to witness history unfolding. Yeah, I mean, I'd say all of this now, and it's a lot of information to take into play, and I think This is 2016 in a nutshell, and I'm not, again, you don't want to celebrate somebody's death. But in saying that, this does open up a world of opportunities for, I keep banging my glass, sorry about that, headphones, this opens up a world of opportunity for the US, for people, for Cuba itself. Now, for better or for worse, that's not for me to determine, because I'm not full admission, I'm not fully vexed with the issue here, but for better or for worse, people, leaders around the nation now see Cuba as probably the biggest opportunity there is coming into, and I say this, that's why I preface this segment with, I've only got four shows left, but I think coming into 2017, and I think this is probably going to play into some of that stuff seeing in 2017, I think 2017 is going to look a lot different than what 2016 did in terms of who deals with who and who kind of deals with who trades with who, definitely, and who works with who. Now, I'm not saying that is entirely has to do with a particular person getting elected in the US. I'm just saying with everything that has happened in the context of 2016, that's just going to... The whole political landscape's going to look very different next year. And I worry about that, but I'm also excited at that at the same time. I'm worried if something bad's going to happen, but I'm excited to see if something comes out of that, something different comes out of that, different deals, different trade deals or something comes out of it and go, that happened. And putting together a best of episode currently, you kind of look at it and go, Brexit, next year's really going to be a telling sign for who the UK is going to now do dealings with apart from Europe. They have opened up massive opportunities there. Now, it's interesting to know that that is an opportunity there. That's fully going to kick in 2017 when it actually goes through in March, I believe, if I was doing my reading correctly, the withdrawal has to take place before March of next year. But I think, and now you've got Cuba who are now essentially open, and the US reopened embassies down there, I think, earlier this year, or was that late last year? It's all a blur, quite honestly. that's an opportunity pot there. In terms of my opinions of Castro himself, I'm going to refrain from commenting, mainly because that's not a cop-out. And if you believe it's a cop-out, please do email me. Please do contact the show and let me know. But I don't... It's not... Castro is not a person I've been following closely my entire life over the course of his reign. I mean, reign of 50 years, I'm only 23. So there's not much... He ruled Cuba for nearly twice my lifetime, so I came in halfway through. Now, whether that makes me arrogant or not, that's a whole nother story for a whole nother time. But I think he, for better or for worse, and I don't agree with what he did at all, but for better or for worse, he did stick to what he believed in, and there's something about that. Hell, look at the elections that has happened over the course of 2016, and you're probably going to hear me do this a lot over the next 4 weeks, is kind of look back on the year as the year's kind of folding in on itself at this point, as we kind of put a bow on things heading into the final weeks, heading into the first couple of weeks of December. The year's folding in on itself. But I don't agree with what Castro has done. My general opinion is I don't agree with what he's done, but he certainly did do what he believed. And he didn't take anyone out in the... wasn't afraid to take anyone out in the process. Whether that stance makes me a terrible person, well, I don't know. This is definitely going to be an impact, and again, this might scrape through as to be one of the biggest stories that have happened in 2016, even as late as November. So things do happen later in the year that do impact do impact things later down the line as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for Sunday. Now, are you not happy with how things are going in 2016? Well, we might have a solution for you that is you could use, actually, at a time like this. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's 10:22.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. That's right. If you think that 2016 is becoming probably one of the weirdest years in news history that I can remember, but we have a solution for you that's pretty much basically an undo button for all of that sort of stuff, if you want to relive 2015, I guess. If endless cyber attacks, scare stories, viral fake news articles, online abuse, and the election... this will be coming up a lot. The election of Donald Trump has given yourself resolve to walk away from the internet? Well, you're in luck. Developers in Sweden have created a website that can help you delete your online presence in just a few clicks. Why am I not doing this to game show music? Do we have any game show music on file? I do, actually. Here we go. I found something. There we go. Yes. Let me turn that down. All right. Available at deceit.me, Willy Dalibo and Lucas Allenbach designed the internet deletion site for people to, quote, clean up your internet presence. Why have we got Family Feud playing in the background? That's not what I want. I want The Price is Right. Oh, there we go. Hey, The Price is Right is suggested. It knows me too well. Alright, so this is going to come up here. Here we go. That's better. Now I can fully get in character. Alright. The servers lets you see all of the websites you've signed up for or have accounts for and ask you if you would like to delete them or unsubscribe. It asks for your email address and password, so it scans for the sites you've signed up for. The developers said it takes privacy of users seriously and that the program runs on the user's computer, rather on their servers. Quote, so basically it's the only thing that you're telling us is what accounts you want to delete. That's it, they say. The website uses Google's security protocol, which means it won't gain access to users' login information, they added. Deceit.me is fairly limited at the moment. It requires users to have a Google email address that is used for all of your online accounts. So those ancient MySpace or Meebo accounts you've signed up for with a Hotmail address, you'll need to go into the sites and delete them yourself. It hasn't managed to receive any account deletion information from every service yet, so it appears to be a grayed out delete button. And it may never work with smaller sites. That said, it already works with major websites that users would likely have accounts with, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Evernote. It's simple to use. Go to dseeked.me, sign in with your Google email address, and go through the list of websites you've signed up for. Decide whether you want to delete, add to the link queue, or keep. Four. I don't have to read four. If you have more sites associated with other accounts you'd like to delete, then you'll have to visit these individually and follow their instructions. All this can be yours for the low, low price of nothing. It's free. Yes. Actually, it's the low, low price of your online presence. It could be yours if the price is right. Wow, that was... Whoa. No, I don't want... That was perfect. That was almost perfect. As we continue, Generic Live Show, 1029. Never miss a minute of the Generic Live Show. Find us on Blog Talk Radio. Just search a Generic Live Show and listen. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. My microphone is unmuted. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Wow, okay, so if you're watching this on YouTube live, you just had probably one of the funniest blunders, I think, of Generic Live Show history. I just recorded a segment, but my microphone was off for the entire 5-minute segment. I had no way of putting that out there live. It will be in the podcast. That segment I did will be in the podcast, so I will be putting that in the podcast. So do look for the podcast. I might have to make a clip of the week at that last segment, clip of the week, just so I could put it as a link in the description. That is the funniest stuff I have ever done. That's so strange, and I forgot to press this button. It's quite simple. Hey, I gotta make sure that it's on now. There we go. All right. So that segment was pretty good. So I'm not gonna be complaining. That segment was really good. So, now, we're moving on from that segment into something that is less comical. Tom Hanks, Michael Jordan, have something in common this week. What is it, you ask? They are among the Obama's last Medal of Freedom award picks. Bruce Springsteen, Diana Ross, and Ellen DeGeneres are also among the 21 athletes philosophers and entertainers chosen to receive highest civilian honor in the U.S. It's one of his final acts in office. Barack Obama selected key figures in sports, entrepreneurship, philanthropy, activism, academia, and entertainment, along with 21 people who were awarded the 2016 Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor in the U.S. Obama will present recipients, including rocker Bruce Springsteen. Now I'm really nervous about my microphone not being on. I know it's on. It's on. The red light is on. Everything is hunky-dory. Okay. So Motown soul singer Diana Ross, former basketball champion Michael Jordan, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and actors Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro, Robert Redford, with the medal at the White House ceremony on November 22nd. The White House said on Wednesday. Excuse me. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is not just our nation's highest civilian honor. It's a tribute to the idea that all of us, no matter where we come from, have the opportunity to change this country for the better, unquote, President Obama said in a statement. The medal is given annually to people who have made outstanding contributions to the security or national interests of the U.S., to world peace, or to cultural and other significant public or private endeavors. Well, we definitely know what this year was in aid of. This year's roster also included Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates and his wife for their philosophic foundation, TV talk show host Ellen DeGeneres, and veteran actor Celie Tyson, architect Frank Gehry, and baseball broadcaster Vin Scully. The group also includes several not-so-well-known Americans, such as the late Native American community leader L. Louise Corbell and NASA moon landing computer scientist Margaret H. Hamilton. Now, okay, first of all, just because they don't have name recognition doesn't mean they're not important. I'm pretty sure that NASA moon landing computer scientist and late Native American community leader are two very important people to the U.S. history and the development of the country. So we'll leave that there. Thank you, The Guardian. Obama leaves office in January after 8 years following the election of Republican businessman Donald Trump. That's the fourth time today that Donald Trump was referenced. The previous recipients of the medal from Obama include baseball champion Yogi Berra, singer-songwriter Bob Dylan, director Steven Spielberg, and former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. Now, I think, looking at that list, Bob Dylan, with the exception of Steven Spielberg, and maybe Bob Dylan, I'll flip it around, with the exception of Madeleine Albright, the other three listed in that last list there were celebrity people with name recognition, except for Yogi Berra. But I'm sure plenty of baseball people know who that is. I just don't, because I don't really follow American baseball. But I think people, this has become a celebrity contest, and for better or for worse, it has definitely become that. I think I'm of two mindsets. I think maintaining the rawness of that, the rawness of the highest civilian officer in the land, and the highest civilian of the land, and giving it to celebrities and giving it to people who actually made a difference in the nation. Finding that balance is a little bit tricky, and I think finding that balance is where it needs to remain. Now, I think, again, I don't want to be pessimistic, and I hate bringing this up, and it's going to be a lot of Donald Trump talk today, still, unfortunately. But I think who Donald Trump's going to give it to is probably still remains in kind of a balanced state. I think who he's going to give the medal to in 2017 is probably going to be an interesting one to find out and to kind of wait for. But will he give it to celebrities, or will he continue to give it to people who are influential in the U.S. political scene. Speaking of which, I had a story here with a very interesting headline. Now, I thought I'd break this one down with my microphone on. Yes. I will get over that. By the way, a couple of things. I have to address something in the room. I do apologize. If you can see on video, I have this weird lump on my head. I do apologize for that. I don't know where it came from, but there you go. There's a weird lump on my head. Second of all, I think I've made the biggest mistake in the world. I can't believe that. Anyway, here is... Now, people are saying, there's this good article that is broken down of Trump backing down on his campaign promises over the last couple of weeks. Now, it is interesting, as when you break it down like this article has. It's interesting.
For the past week, Mitt Romney has been seen as a leading contender to be President-elect Donald Trump's Secretary of State. But now there are signs that an internal debate over who should get the job are being made public. Trump advisor and former campaign manager Kellyanne Conway issued a series of tweets Thursday morning in which she appeared to question Romney's suitability to work alongside Trump. Quote, receiving deluge of social media and private communications regarding Romney. Some Trump loyalists warn against Romney as Secretary of State, she wrote. Romney was one of Trump's harshest critics on the Republican side. During the campaign, Mr. Romney said Mr. Trump posed a fundamental threat to American democracy.
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. He's playing the members of the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House, and all we get is a lousy hat.
The internal debate over the State Department job appears to be between supporters of Romney and those favoring former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Others still believe Trump should keep searching for candidates. Prominent Republican and Trump devotee Newt Gingrich has openly supported Giuliani and questioned Romney's ability to be loyal to Trump because he was Trump's, quote, most vicious and most explicit opponent through the campaign on the Republican side, unquote. Adding, quote, Governor Romney wanted to be president, not Secretary of State. And you have to ask the question, when he goes overseas, is he going to be the Secretary of State for President Trump, or is he going to be Mitt Romney's own Secretary of State? Representatives for Mr. Trump didn't return requests for comment, nor did Mr. Romney's representative. Mr. Trump has said he is the only one who knows who the finalists are for his picks.
Okay, that music. I think for me, and that's kind of a broad update on where we are with cabinet positions, by the way. Now, to break this down real quick on kind of where he's backed away in terms of his issues. So, Trump on Clinton, which, wow, if that's not the weirdest sentence I think I've said. This show has just become the weirdest thing ever. Okay, so... I'm going to have to say it again. Trump on Clinton. Now, the FBI investigation into Mrs. Clinton's email service was a key part of Mr. Trump's campaign against her, announcing that he would be prosecuting her to put her in jail for the stuff in the emails. He says... Now, he says, I don't want to hurt the Clintons, I really don't, he said. She went through a lot and suffered greatly in many different ways, and I'm not looking to hurt them at all. The campaign was vicious. They say it was the most vicious primary and the most vicious campaign. Trump on climate change, which is a little better to say, throughout the campaign... The Donald Trump openly refused to accept scientific evidence of climate change. Now, New York Times reporter Thomas Friedman if he would take America out of the world's lead on confronting climate change, Mr. Trump said he would open his mind to it. Trump on racism, which, again, odd to say out loud. Donald Trump repeatedly caused global outrage with his campaign based on his outlandish concerns about minority groups. But now, quote, it's not a group I want to energize. This is talking about the white nationalist people, the alt-right people that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it's not a group I want energized, but if they're energized, I want to look into it and find out why, Mr. Trump said. What we want to do is we want to bring the country together because the country is very, very divided. Okay. Trump on Obamacare. Now, this is my favorite. Repealing Obamacare was Donald Trump's key election promises, but he softened his stance in the aftermath of the election. But he said, they don't cite their 60 Minutes interview. In 60 Minutes interview, he did soften on it, going he'll keep parts of Obamacare. He elaborated in the Wall Street Journal later on. He said either Obamacare will be amended or repealed and replaced, Mr. Trump told the newspaper. In parentheses, President Obama, I will look at his suggestions, and out of respect, I will do that. Mr. Trump will be focusing on replacing Obamacare with a kind of free market solutions that he's campaigned on. So that's less of a softening and more of a just a what? Okay. But all in all, this article asks, is this a sign of a new Trump? In short, probably not. And I'll have to agree there because, probably not. He's probably just trying to move more to the center than anything else. And I think the next, he has to stay the same until 2018 at least. This article says that as well, and I kind of agree. I think until the midterms in 2018, it kind of needs the Republicans on his side. And knowing how close the Senate race was this time around, he really needs those key Senate seats to kind of stay Republican, stay his own. Wow, Dale talk. To stay Republican, and knowing that the narrow majority in the Senate, trying to keep that and or widen that will probably be a benefit of Trump. But I think if he changes too much, I think people will be repulsed by him. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, where today I learned how to turn a microphone on. Also, there. It's a funny story. And the funnier headline, and it speaks for itself. Thieves busted with 30K of stolen blank. Aha, see? It's all about that tease in radio industry. Thieves busted with 30K of stolen. I'll tell you what they stole after this break as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us on a Sunday with Dale Campbell turning microphones on and off since 2012. It's 10:20. It's 10:51.
I could stay like this forever following you. Just don't get too far, and I'll be right where you are. You're a dream that I could finally see.
Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's a pleasure to be here talking and everything. Thanks for joining us. This hour's been really weird. I think this hour's been probably one of the weirdest I think I've done. And that's coming from me, and that's coming from 2016. Now, and this it gets even better, where themes this week where it happened in an investigation, mind you, linked with drug trafficking, car theft, and kidnapping plot in Canada, comes to you $30,000 of stolen Nutella. That's right. It's part of the investigation in terms of a crime link to drug trafficking, car theft, and a kidnapping plot in Canada. Investigation in York, Toronto, came across the truckload of the popular hazelnut spread in a warehouse, along with about $5 million of stolen goods, including luxury cars, car parts, e-cigarettes, and alcohol, as well as drugs and weapons, as well as Nutella, because you have to eat something. Following an extensive wiretapping investigation, police on Friday swooped on 23 people accused of being part of the crime group, including ringleader Bellwinder Dalawal, an alleged criminal mastermind known as the King of Car Thieves. Dalal's wife and 30-year-old son were among those arrested. More than 137 charges were laid against the group, the Toronto Star reports. Quote, if there's a profit that would be made by this group would jump on the opportunity, Detective Sergeant Paul Lastone of York Regional Police said. Police originally began investigating the group over a single car theft and eventually uncovered a tangled web of criminal activity. It's alleged the group stole expensive cars, including Lamborghinis, by breaking into homes to snatch the keys and took a tub of Nutella with them every time. They then tampered with cars and created phony paperwork to make it appear that they had been imported by the United States. Deputy Sergeant Lastol said the ring was also connected to cargo theft, including an entire truckload of Nutella. Quote, yes, I said Nutella, Deputy Sergeant said. The police said they found drugs, firearms, and cash during their investigation and uncovered a kidnapping plot to plans to commit insurance fraud. I've never seen an investigation that spiraled in so many different directions, Sergeant LaSalle said. I would definitely agree there. I think the strangest part to this whole thing is the Nutella. What were they going to do with the Nutella? Were they planning to sell the Nutella? Were they planning to eat the Nutella? Is it a bargaining mechanism to kind of go, no, you give me a car and I give you a snack-sized container of Nutella. Actually, I don't know. It doesn't say what size the Nutella is. No, it doesn't even say if it's the Nutella. Is it the big 1.2 kilo Nutella tubs? Because I could do with that right about now. Knowing the production nightmare that this show is going to be, Yeah, I think I need a tub of Nutella. I might get some Nutella in there. I don't have Nutella right here at the house. No, we don't have Nutella. Guess what I'm getting? Nutella. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, Tony Abbott, as we head towards the end of 2016, As we head to this hour of GLS wasn't high quality enough. As we head into the final parts of 2016, Tony Abbott wants to offer some end-of-year advice to Malcolm Turnbull. We'll find out what that advice is after the break. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us Generic Live Show with a Sunday. I'm Dale Campbell. It's 11 o'clock.